an interview with Mrs. Georgia Calcagni for the Youngstown State University Oral History Program on life on the east side of Youngstown by Ron Stoops Jr. at 69 North Garland, Youngstown, Ohio. It is July 12th, 1989, about 9:30. Mrs. Calcagni, would you like to begin by telling me a little bit about your personal background, family, sisters, brothers?
I was born on North Hines Street. I'm 6 years old. My mother passed away, and I moved to Rose Street with my oldest sister, who was 19 years old. She was married and had one child. She took the family in with her, my dad, and seven children. And she was all of us. Then I went to Oak Street. No, I did go to Oak Street School. I started down there, and then we moved up to Rose Street, and I went to Lincoln School and East High School. And I went to the 11th grade. And well, that's a story, but I quit school. And I stayed home, and I helped my sister raise the rest of her family. She had five children of her own, seven of us. So she needed help, and I just quit school to help her.
If I could just ask you, where did you fit in with the seven children? The oldest sister raised you, and then where were you?
I was next to the last.
Next to the youngest in the family.
My youngest sister was 2 years old, and then myself.
You were six, did you say?
6 years old, and the oldest boy was 17 years old. And her husband treated us as though we were kids. Took in my dad also. He had to be an angel, because taking in that many people and working for them, my dad worked. Son. He worked with the, at that time, was a streetcar company. Mm-hmm. And the boys, well, when the boys were like 16, 17 years old, they tried popping up and go to work too. Really, there wasn't too much to do, you know, for them. And I don't know, from there, we all just grew up and married.
That would be about 1920 or so.
Yes.
When your mom passed away.
When my mother passed away.
And so they helped raise you and get you started through the tough years of the Depression. Did you remember
those tough years? But we
all stuck
it
together.
It was luckily he worked with a company that had to stay in business. I mean, and
this is
he
your
worked
dad
out.
Or
he
your
didn't make that much money, but it was enough to keep us from going on welfare.
This is your sister's husband.
This is my sister's husband.
And who was it that he worked for?
Youngstown Municipal Railway at the time. Mm-hmm. And yes, we did work through the tough years, believe me. But we always had food. Nothing. We never had gifts like children have today, naturally. But I don't ever remember having a doll. We just couldn't afford it. Mm-hmm. You know, and later, when smaller children came along, because she had two children very close together, a girl and then a boy. And, well, they got more than we ever got, because then we helped, too. But she became a registered nurse, and he is a college professor. And every one of them did really well.
Okay, can you tell me how you ended up on Garland Avenue, or why Garland, or why you chose the east side of Youngstown to make it your home?
I loved it over this way because this is all I ever knew, you know, and the people who lived on Rose Street were like a family. We just, everybody's problem is everybody's problem. We had trouble, everybody was there, you know, and it was just such a close-knit thing. In fact, the east side was always like that. I can remember right in my own neighborhood here, when you had trouble, you had everybody right with you. You never were alone. So I think that was the reason I just felt the closeness of people. And when it came time to buy a home, my sister already lived up in the other block, this one sister. She was more than a mother to me. I idolized her and her husband. And it was just almost a natural thing for me to do, buy a home near it.
When you say it was close, and if you had a problem, you know, everybody else had a problem, would you help each other out financially or with babysitting?
Financially and any way that we could.
Any particular incident or story that you might relate, particular hardship that you helped somebody through or they helped you through that you could share?
Yes, my aunt lived right next, my mother's sister lived right next door to us on Rose Street. And they were down and out too. So my sister not only was feeding us, but she was feeding that family also. Yes, that's right. She was an extraordinary person to tell you.
How about in terms of the closeness of the neighborhood? Did people lock their doors or did they?
Never.
People go in and out of each other's houses?
Yes, that's one thing we did do. It was just like one family. It really was. We were back and forth and you didn't know who belonged to who, let's put it that way. It was a small street. I don't know how many families there really were there, but it was very short street, you know, and it was a family.
How about here on Garland Avenue? Did you find it a lot the same way as on Rose Street?
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. It was. It was very same way. I had very good neighbors. Up until about 10 years ago. They're not bad neighbors now. I can't say that because we have never had any problems. You know, with the worst thing that ever happened to us, I bought a beautiful big basket for my porch there. And I think he bought one for Mother's Day. And I only had it that day, and the next morning it was gone. And that's the only thing I could ever remember.
I remember
being taken away from me.
And how long ago was that?
That was like about 15 years ago.
In the 70s. Mm-hmm. But never locked your doors?
No,
do you have locks on them now?
Oh, definitely.
When did you?
Double locks.
And when do you?
In about the last 10 years.
About the last 10 years, but up until
10 or 15 years, we really quite careful about that, yes.
Okay. Could you maybe tell me or try and describe for me what a typical day would have been like, say, once you moved on Garland and you were a young wife and mother, and a typical day would be like on the east side for you or maybe for the kids? Typical day.
A typical day for me was to get up early in the morning with the children. And, well, I had a girlfriend, an adult, maybe you remember, Fabrizia Pinoa.
Mm-hmm.
She was one of the daughters. And she would come down in the morning and we would sit and have coffee until about 10, 11 o'clock. And from then on, it was just take care of the house, clean. Get ready for the children, you know, cook meals. I love to bake. I bake all the time. Still do.
What time did you get up in the morning?
Well, he would go to work like 7 o'clock. He would leave about 7:15, and I'd always get up with him. Not that he would eat. I mean, I didn't cook no big breakfast because he just never cared for it. But a cup of coffee, you know. And that was it.
And how about supper? Did you have a regular schedule?
Yes. It was always ready when he'd come home at 5 o'clock. Until the boys, even after they were married, we still, I mean, after all the children were out, we still do that. Still have supper.
And all the kids come?
They used to come like almost every Sunday. Mm-hmm. But then their families became large, and we just, you know, just continued that. But they come.
And so we put him off to work about 7:45, mm-hmm. and supper at 5, coffee in the morning. Mm-hmm. How about the kids? What would any particular activities or when they were old enough to go outside and start doing some things, what might they do during the day?
Oh yes, they'd be over at Lincoln School playing all day.
And Lincoln's a school right around the corner?
That's right, over on Bruce Street.
Mm-hmm.
And I could see there were classrooms from my kitchen window. Because a lot of times Bob would go to sharpen his pencil, and I could see him. I could wave at him from the backyard even.
Mm-hmm.
But I belonged to the PTA there. I was with them all through school. Darlene, she went to Annapolis. So it was very active then. I loved her.
What sort of things would the kids do over at Lincoln? And
baseball. I don't know what else, because it's, I find out now things that we're just talking, and I'll find out, we did this and we did that. I can't believe it. I said, oh my goodness.
And remember, they started admitting some of the mischievous things they did.
Oh, yes. Yes, they did.
That's anything worthy of mentioning that wouldn't incriminate?
No. Oh, no. That's one thing. I never got in trouble. I never had, any trouble. It's just
boy stuff.
Yeah, boy stuff. Jumping over people's fences and going over next door to Mr. Drummond's and... Yeah, and messing up his flowers. He had a gorgeous backyard. It was just beautiful. And, he'd do nasty things, but not harmful to anyone.
Baseball, that you mentioned that they played baseball, that seems like that's maybe a trademark that so many of the good baseball players around town, a lot of them had their roots on the east side.
Well, my oldest son, Raymond, did love baseball, and he played a lot of baseball, but, I don't know, I can't even think of the name of the teams he played with, but he loved baseball. Now, Bob was an all-around sport. He wasn't too crazy about baseball, but he liked to play. He played baseball, and he played football, but he was a great basketball player, at least. He didn't love that. And he'd golf. He especially now, any kind of a sport, Bob was right in there. He really loved it. Ray was more of, after baseball, he was fisherman, hunter. He loved to go and hunt.
Where would the kids fish around there?
Well, Grandpa used to, Jay's dad always took them fishing. I have no idea where they did go. I don't remember.
Is Evans Lake isn't...
Now that belongs to the Ohio Water
right.
Service
uh-huh.
that my son works for, so he fell right into it.
You're not allowed to fish there now, are you?
I think they just have one lake open at the time. Mm-hmm. I don't know which one it is now. Pine Lake, Hamilton. Mm-hmm. I really don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But at that time, his grandfather did take him. Well, they went to Milton Dam.
Now, how about the girls? You know, the boys would go down to Lincoln and play baseball and that. But how about girls? What kind of things would the girls do?
Well, not really too much, really. There wasn't that much for them to do, but play, you know. Nothing, you know, I really don't know how to...
Did they have bicycles?
I wasn't too fond of them, because we had a bus going down the street.
And did many of the kids, boys or girls, have bicycles on the neighborhood?
Not too many of them.
That was kind of a luxury or something?
It was. It was more or less a luxury. It really was.
And so did everybody have it?
Now Jay worked all the time. He never was out of work. But he never made that a great amount of money, you know. But it was enough to keep our family. Mm-hmm. And we lived all like this. Mm-hmm.
I was going to ask you something else about the kids. When the boys would go down to play baseball, would they come home regularly for lunch, or would you have a hard time tracking them down?
No, they would be home for lunch. They would also bring friends with them, always.
That pretty much a routine with all the kids, or every family was a little bit different?
No, that was just about...
They'd break at a certain time for lunch?
They'd come home. They knew, when they got hungry, they'd come home. They knew, you know. And they did play in the street a lot, because traffic wasn't really... You know, the only thing we were always afraid of was that bus coming down here. And this is downhill, and when they get on a bike or anything, you know, it was a little dangerous.
Anything else about it? How about house chores? I'm sure you didn't have a garbage disposal, but anything that was unique about doing household chores in the 40s?
I would have to wash in a double dexter washer with the room, and I would pick up the big baskets and bring them out to the backyard and hang them. And then go back down, get some water.
Okay, Mrs. Calcagni, you were telling me about washing the clothes.
Carrying big baskets out to the back. Put them, bring them back in. You know, it was just, that was a full day's work. It really was.
Hang them outside to dry.
Iron, every single thing had to be ironed. And I think of now, I wonder how I got through those days.
I was going back when you said how close-knit the community was and the people in the neighborhood and so on. About in terms of ethnic groups, was it a variety of groups or certain nationalities seemed to dominate? Did that have any influence on the friendships or kids that you hang around with?
None at all. There was Irish. Mr. Drummond lived next door. They were Irish. McGonigal's lived next door. They were Irish. In the corner they were. And then we as Italian. And across the street she was Italian. And on the hill up towards your grandma's, there were several Italian families up there, and Irish, there were mostly all Italian and Irish, and Hannises were Slovak, but that was it. But nobody even thought of nationality at the time. I don't know why. It was never even, everybody was just everybody, you know?
And so often in textbooks and things we read about, you know, these little Italian sections and Irish sections and a certain animosity and so on, but...
No, it wasn't that way. Uh-uh. No. Because I remember one year we had a reunion this block from Himrod to Charlotte. We had a big party up on the hill at the Peel's house. You probably heard Dad talk about the Peel. And everybody was there, just like, you know.
Now,
big family.
Would the Italians bring certain types of their
they
food,
would bring
the
their
sausage
food,
and pasta?
Yes, right. Everybody brought their own favorite dish.
how about the kids? Did they eat some of everybody's?
Oh, of course, of course. Oh, yes, they did. Everybody's food went over really good.
Would you like to tell me about any particular incident, any dramatic event, or any particular incidents that stand out in your mind that had a big effect on the area through that time, the 40s or the 50s? Natural disasters, fires, any...
Not like
catastrophic that. Or
not really.
How about in terms of it seems like there would be deaths, that we didn't have the medicine as we have now, and children sometimes at young ages, and even parents in the early teens and things.
Well, going back to my mom, that's what happened, because she died. It wouldn't have happened had it been today.
Mm-hmm.
But she died a child, so she just handed. There was nothing they could do about it.
Mm-hmm. About the East Side, your feelings about the East Side. Was the East Side different? Did you feel like it was better or worse than some other parts of town or some other neighborhoods? Or what might have made the East Side different?
I think the friendliness, the closeness of people is about the only thing I can... I don't know of any place else. People are as close as here. I've asked, and they have, people will admit, they moved away from here, but they'll say, there's nothing like the people over there. But the people today really don't care. Now, my sister, when she moved up on in Liberty. And the man next door died, she never knew it. Nobody bothered. Nobody was bothered to tell anybody anything. It just happened, and, it's just different. But when somebody died in this neighborhood, everybody was there. You were never left alone. Somebody was with you all the time. That was the difference now. And I have another sister that moved up that way too, and she says the same thing. There's nobody that bothers. Nobody wants to bother with you.
And you had told me before, or I know that at one point you lived on the south side when you were first married over in Philadelphia.
Yes.
And again,
we moved in with my brother on Fruit Street for about a year, I think. And then we moved in an apartment on East Philadelphia. It was a brand new home.
And what year?
39, I think it was. Yes, because Bob was born there. On East Philadelphia.
Mm-hmm.
With Lepore's, you probably know Mr. Lepore from Youngstown.
Mm-hmm.
It's his mom. We lived with them. They were young children at the time. And but I was never comfortable. Nobody bothered, just didn't bother with you, that's all. They would say hello, they were friendly, they'd say hello, nobody would bother. And when you're used to that closeness, it's kind of strange, so I was kind of anxious to get back over here. And we decided to come back, and we found this house. Chuck Walsh lived here, incidentally, and they moved across the street, and we took this house over.
And that was 1941. we were trying to get a feel for a typical day. How about on Sunday? I know you belong to Immaculate Conception. Is there anything? Can you describe like a Sunday or what was Was a Sunday a special day in the neighborhood or in the family?
Oh, no, it was a very special day. You'd go to Mass early in the morning. In fact, you would go at 5:30 in the morning, 5:30 Mass. Bob was an altar boy. He would get up and go to Mass with us. We'd come home, and 9 times out of 10, we went back to bed for about an hour or so, and then we'd get up and have breakfast. I'd cook a big dinner. We'd get together with my sister's family in the afternoon. That was one of the big things. Everybody would just congregate up on Garland at her house. We'd be there all afternoon. Come back in the evening, just an evening at home with the neighbors who got company.
And belonged to, and then you went to Immaculate Conception.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And I was very active. Then I loved doing up all the cloths, big, and the altar boys' outfits.
How about what did you do for entertainment? Your husband, yourself, or?
We loved to dance. We went to Yankee Lake almost every Saturday night. We really did. We did. We enjoyed that. And then later...
This is when you had children. This would be in the 40s.
The two boys. When we had the two boys. It was a little harder after the girl came. We still went, but not as often. Because my sister was always there to take, you know, take my boys and care for them until... But and then after Darlene came, it was a little harder. We just didn't go as much. But his family, his uncle, had a cottage at Geneva on the lake. And Jay would go up there almost every weekend. They built the cottage. And he would just take off and go to the lake on the weekends. Or I'd go with him with the boys sometimes. And we'd spend time up there in the summer.
But that seems to be a...
But another thing, before we got the cottage, I must tell you, we camped. We had a tent, a very large tent. And we would camp. We'd go out to Geneva and camp around. We'd spend weekends out there with the boys. We'd always bring some of the family with us, naturally. And that was our life. That was our entertainment.
How about Yankee Lake? Do you remember some of the bands or the music?
Sure, we were really good friends with him. What was his name? I can't remember.
They played jazz music or...
Pardon?
Jazz music or everything? Yeah,
just everything. Uh-huh. Mostly waltzing.
Waltzing.
Yeah. Uh-huh. And we became really good friends with him too. Wasn't that terrible? His name will not come to him anymore.
Was he a regular?
His regular band. He was there all the time. Right? And then we had friends because part of that time he worked at General American in Masury. And he met a lot of fellows from down around there, so we would all go.
We would all meet out there.
Yeah.
You'd meet up. Mm-hmm. And would you go to dinner first? Or
no, they would have like a buffet, you know, later. But we would have our dinner at home. But that was great fun for us.
What time? What, 7, 8? Later?
Go dancing?
Yeah,
about 8 o'clock.
8 o'clock,
yeah.
Uh-huh.
And about 12, 1 o'clock, we'd be on our way home.
I know what I was going to ask you. Something, how about did that go on during the war years too?
Yes, because that's why he wasn't drafted. He worked at this,
they were making tanks.
Yes, he was a welder.
Uh-huh.
And that's why he was sort of concerned. And the boys were not old enough.
Yeah.
You know, then Bob joined the National Guard later.
So the dances and everything did continue.
Oh yes, yeah, mm-hmm. We had to. And, when the boys were drafted, I know they're going into a different subject, but at that time this was, they all left from Lincoln School. The buses would go there.
To the recruit.
Yeah, they all left Lincoln School because my brother, my nephews, and I had quite a few in our family that come over, but this was the departing.
This is where the departing
is. Yes. Mm-hmm. It's quite sad.
Did the neighbors and the families congregate down there and give them a big send-off?
Absolutely. Everybody.
Can you describe that a little bit?
Sad. Oh, it was very, very sad.
It seems as though, and some of the things I've seen on TV, and the impression you get is there was a lot of hoopla and hooting and hollering and patriotism and the American flags waving and that, almost like a celebration, but that's not the feeling that you had.
No, not really.
Did they try and act as if?
Oh yes, yes, they did. But you know, when the bus would pull away, it would be the climax. That was it. Sad.
We're talking about the war in the 40s here on the East Side. How might things have changed, or did things change very much, say during those years? Or what did people do anything differently, or any special things?
It seemed everything just settled down. Nobody was, it was strange change, it really was. Everything was, you know, everybody seemed so happy. Well, when the boys had, most of the boys around here were old enough to go, and they left. It was just, the family was sad, we were sad with them, And it really wasn't those happy days like they were before. But,
Any special things in terms of helping the war cause? They make victory gardens or any special things?
Just write letters galore, because I had nephews and my brother, and they were all into it, and we would write to them, send packages to them.
How about the children, when you go back to entertainment? What did the children do? Theaters?
Yes, that's just about it. They'd go to theaters. They just had fun just, playing with the neighbor boys.
What was the theater like, a real special treat? Did they do it once a month or a couple times a year?
No. They would go pretty often. They would. Because really, there was nothing else. What else could they do, I thought I took that off.
How about outside of the movies? Anything else?
Well, got to where we got a television. I think about second family on the street that got a television. So this was the hangout for all the boys.
And what year would that be about? About. About 1950?
Yeah.
One of the first ones.
That's about it. Uh-huh. And all the boys would come here and they'd just sit around and watch watch television. That was one of their pastimes.
How about prior to that? Did you congregate? Did you remember spending a lot of evenings around the radio?
We always had boys here. Always.
How about the radio? I've heard you know, some.
Yeah, they would have a radio.
What were some of those famous talk shows or comedies and things they had on the radio?
Amos and Andy. And the Goldbergs.
Was that a routine or a pretty regular thing in the evening?
Yeah, that was regular. That everybody after supper. Watched. Yeah, after supper. They had fights, big fights. Everybody would congregate for that.
Boxing matches you're talking about.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. How about eating or grocery shopping? Where did you do your grocery shopping? Is there a local?
Yes, it was most of the time we did East Federal Street. There were a lot of grocery stores down there. Hughes Meat Market. Did most of our shopping down there.
Hughes, where was Hughes?
On East Federal Street. On this, just in this side of the New Plaza.
Were there ethnic type shops or stores? Is there an Italian meat market or something near
Rolly
here?
Yes, Rolly Brothers was down there, and Little Riches were on East Federal Street. And that's where we did all our shopping, and they had Cohen's chicken, farm. That was really mostly where you could do your shopping at that time.
What would typical meals be like?
Well, naturally spaghetti and meatballs and chicken.
How often would you have spaghetti and meatballs?
We had spaghetti every Thursday and every Sunday. And at the Jubilee. It's very rarely we have it now. It just doesn't feel good anymore. But we had, last Sunday I had my daughter-in-law. I told you my son's in Luxembourg. And she went back with him and brought their little boy back. So mm-hmm. they're going to stay there now until he is ready to come home. And I had them over for homemade spaghetti.
And other meals, chicken?
Chicken, sausage, and roast beef.
Did you make any of your own sauces or sausage?
Yes, we made our own.
Did you have your own garden?
Oh yes, we had a garden. We never had a very large garden, but it was enough to for our meals, yes.
What were some of the things? So you did have a garden?
Yes, we did.
What would be some of the things in the garden?
Tomatoes and peppers and lettuce. That would be mostly because, we did have cucumbers, a lot of little, cucumbers. But it was never
Did you can?
Oh, yes, I always can my tomatoes.
Have a fruit cellar?
I have a big fruit cellar. Mostly only tomatoes, I really. Then when the freezers come along, I did a lot of freezing.
Would you say you spend a lot of time in the kitchen?
Oh, yes. I really do. I love to cook. And I love to bake. I still do.
Any special homemade meals besides?
Wedding soup. Oh, that's his favorite.
You might stop this and turn the tape over. We're getting close to side two of take one with the interview with Mrs. Calcagno on North Garland Avenue. Mrs. Calcagno, how about, can you tell me something about where you did your grocery shopping or the kind of meals that you fixed at home?
Mostly on East Federal Street. There's meat market. That really was about first like a supermarket, Auntie's supermarket on Victory Street. We were shopping there also. That's where most of my groceries were bought. And I did cook, a lot of meals. And you have two grown boys, food. And that was one of the things we always had in our home. In spite of depression or whatever problem, we always had food. I really loved to cook and drink.
How about special kind of meals? A routine?
More or less, it was routine. Spaghetti. We had spaghetti every Thursday. Chicken. And bread and soup. My husband's favorite. That could be an all-day chore, maybe bread and soup a week. And roast, pot roast, pork roast.
Were there Italian stores or?
Yes, there was. The Willie Brothers, Liberches, the downtown. The vegetable stores. There were several stores down there, all, different types.
How about a garden? Did you just graze or do something?
We always had a garden, but not, very large garden. It was enough to suit the purpose of the family. We did buy tomatoes, and I did can. We had a large fruit cellar, and I did can all the tomatoes. And peppers.
How about the way kids dressed back then, in the 40s or so, the typical dress? Much different from today?
Yes. Jeans were definitely out. There's no jeans, only people that wore jeans. And that's one thing I'd rather dress my children. I always had boys dressed up really sharp. I really did. I didn't care. I made a lot of my clothes. But I did like boys dressed up. I really did. And I remember when Bob was in college, he came home, they were having Sadie Hawkins Day. He says, "Mom, can I please wear a pair of jeans today? Because you only dressed up to go to college. I mean, really dressed up. Didn't wear a tie all the time, only days that he had to make oral speeches or something that he would wear a tie. But they always dressed in suit with pants." And he asked me that day, he says, "Mom, can I please wear a pair of jeans to Sadie Hawkins?" And I think that was the first time he was allowed to have jeans to go to school. But, the boys really dressed real well. I did like top coats. But they were always handed down, man. I always had family that somebody else, now they had, trench coats.
Mm-hmm.
They both had one,
mm-hmm.
and we handed them down. I'll bet you about six people in the family wore those.
Mm-hmm.
We paid good money for them at that time. it was good night, because I always thought they closed down in the Hartles on Federal Street. And so they wore well. And I don't know how many boys in the family wore those down till they were worn out. But, no, they dressed so much different.
But they were very durable when they
Durable, very, very. They were made well also.
You mentioned you shopped down at Hartzell's and you went downtown to grocery shopping. How would you get there?
Walk.
How far would that be? How far?
Well, I think it's a mile. I think it was a mile from Rose Street, so it's a little over a mile here.
But we walked.
But then Jed had a car. He, in fact, when I married him, he had a brand new car.
You had a car when you got married.
Yes.
So
we always had
37.
And we always had a car. I never drove, though. He drove.
Did you ever get your driver's license?
Oh, yes. I did about 15 years ago. I drove. But when the children were young, we did a lot of walking because there was... Unless we'd go grocery shopping up in the afternoon, running back to the home before. But the walking was the same, you know, we just thought nothing of it. In fact, when we were youngsters on Rose Street, we used to walk up Mahoning Avenue on to the Isleys, you know where the Isleys? We'd walk up there and back for a 10-cent cone.
Is that right?
Absolutely.
But
nothing of it.
It was over a mile.
Oh, sure, that was over a mile. Way over. That was way out in the home in the Avenue.
Right, that had to be several miles.
And we made the novena at St. Pat's for years and years while I was in high school, because I'd come home from high school and stop home, pick up a cousin of mine, and we would walk to St. Pat's to novena.
St. Pat's up
on Oak Hill.
On Oak Hill.
And we would walk back home. Yeah,
that's quite a bit of a drive.
That was close.
That's walk
to school.
Quite a bit of a drive. A walk is a...
Yeah, that's what I mean. We would walk to school, come home for lunch, go back. Now that was three trips. Four trips.
That would be to Lincoln's
East
not
high
very
school.
Cool, but to East High School.
High School.
Again, that's got to be well over a mile.
We got to go long enough to have a sandwich and walk back. But that was the natural thing to do.
And your boys walked too?
Oh, absolutely. Yes, they did. Bob didn't have a car till he graduated. He graduated, my uncle bought him one. But they both, you know, bought their own cars, and the uncle that was living with us at the time, helped me get one.
So you said that you didn't have a driver's license. Did very many, or did any women have driver's licenses that you knew of?
My sister did, but that wasn't, you know, maybe like 10, 15 years before I got mine. But, I don't think they could afford it. Women didn't drive, that's all. Not that many women drove.
There was one car at the most.
Yes, right.
Mm-hmm. There were quite a few families that may not have had a car.
There were a lot of people that didn't have one. Over the years, I can remember people across the street, they had a car. And we did get a car and only had it for a few years, but there weren't too many.
Yeah, a lot of walking.
Walking, right.
Do you remember about East High School? I know you went there, and all of your children went there. We walked, and then anything about the school.
They were happy days. I loved it. I loved going to school. I really did. But just circumstances, just, you know, really getting through that.
Yeah, last year. But, would you say that the school, or the East High School, or the church, or one or the other, have been like a focal point of some of the social activities and things for the area, or didn't they play such a big part?
Not at the time. You mean the time I went to school?
Well, at the time you went to school,
yeah,
which would be what, the 20s and early 30s.
Early 30s, uh-huh. So I would have graduated in 32. But my daddy, Dad was a very, very strict person. I could not attend any of the school affairs. That also helped me, because I was going to be allowed to go to the town, and so he's quite strict. Mm-hmm. And he would go against his will, so. And I thought, oh, yeah, I can't have all that fun. What's the use of going? That's what my thought then.
So you got a job then?
No, he wouldn't let me go to work. He just limited me. Women did not work.
Until when, or ever?
Well, after I got married, my sister got a job. She was allowed to get a job then. But no, we just didn't think good women.
Their
places to be, home with their family.
And have dinner ready.
And have dinner ready when they come home. So.
Well, that's changed quite a bit.
Very much, right.
You have any feelings about that?
Well, I would love to have gone to work. I really would. Because the short time I did work with my friend had a little restaurant across from, on Lincoln Avenue across from college. And I worked in there. And oh, it was a joy. It really was.
After you got married?
Mm-hmm. That was, about 15 years ago. I just loved it. I did always want to go to work, but he would not. Absolutely not.
And it was pretty typical of a lot of the fathers and
a lot
of the girls.
Oh, yes, a lot of them. Mm-hmm. There were a lot of fathers felt that way at that time.
That would be, again, like in the 30s. Late 20s, early 30s. That kind of eased up. I mean, that general.
Yes, it did. Gradually did, and I my sister's children, their daughter got a job. She worked. It gradually eased off then, and the girls, you know, got to where they were.
I know I've said this before, but it seems to me that everyone on the East Side knew one another, or everyone knows everyone else, and that they're very proud of their roots. It's like when you meet them, immediately they say, yeah, I'm from the East Side, or I know your family from the East Side, as if there's some feeling there.
There is. There's a deep feeling there, really. You can feel it when you meet somebody, you can just...
Why do you suppose that is?
I don't know, because of being so caring, people, they really care. You know, you hear of people saying, oh, I don't care, here's what you think. It was just so different. People did care then. They cared about everything. Your problems were theirs. And I know, like, if we ever had any problems, my neighbors were right beside me through all my trouble. I don't know where else you could find.
So you feel like the East Side is a special place?
Very special, absolutely. I can honestly say that. And I know it's going to be hard when you do get out here, because you're going to have to get out now. In fact, I think maybe the end of the month we're just going to have to get an investor. Just get rid of the house and get into an apartment. It's just a little bit too much. And I know it's going to be a heartbreak, but
you've lived here for most of your
75
years, all
good. Oh, but it's maybe like 15 years or two.
Mm-hmm. And you've seen it go through a lot of changes.
A lot of changes. Oh, right now it's just a drastic change.
What might be your fondest memory as you look back, and again, I have to go back to maybe the 40s when you just bought this house in 1941. You know, if you sat on the porch, or what might you see as you looked outside? Or
the park years. We moved into this home. We had a lot of work to do in this house. It was really bare up there, actually. And people really had layers and layers of paper we had to remove. We worked like 3 or 4 years, put everything new in it. And all the homes were beautiful. Everybody took up their homes so beautiful, outside and inside. And you see gradually it's just going.
That must be hard for you.
It is. It is. It used to be the most beautiful block around. It was.
Mrs. Calcagney, what would be maybe your fondest memory as you think back? Something, your fondest memory of this area, this house, this side of town.
Oh, there's so many. I wouldn't know where to begin. Having my children. When they graduated from high school, I had to be the happiest person. It was so beautiful. And when Bob graduated from college, I looked at that. That was all happy days. And our life here was. We had hard times. I mean, you know, it wasn't like it was all a bed of roses. We had hard times, but you know, you just can't. It's hard to say. I can't explain it to you.
Christmas and birthdays.
Oh,
and
Christmas is beautiful, always. Up until, I think about 7 or 8 years, we had Christmas here all the time. Christmas Eve, Christmas Day, they just kind of stay, you know. In the last 7 or 8 years, Bob has Christmas Eve at his house, and then we have Christmas Day here, or Darlene's, she got a home, and we just go there. But such happy days. We had sad days too. I lost my sister. The one that raised me. And my brother. And it was just like part of our life.
Well, I know that you were married in the toughest times of the Depression, 1937. How were you able to get by, or what did you do to get by during those years?
Well, like I said, he always worked, you know, he always, like, with the WPA.
He worked for the WPA?
WPA, $60 a month, and we got by on it. We paid our bills. You know, if we go on, he was making like $4.50 or something a day. And we got through. We always had food. We never had to call for help. And, you know, we always took care of our home and bills. We never owed anybody anything. But we got through it. By the grace of God, we did.
you learn to make do with what you have.
That's right. That's right. A lot of things we had to do without. But
like
luxuries, nice clothes. We just couldn't afford it. That's all.
Family vacations?
No.
Not too often.
Camping, like I said, we pitched a tent, and that was a vacation. No more than that.
Did many people in the neighborhood, or did quite a few people in the neighborhood also work for the WPA? Or the CCC?
Yes. Just a couple families up the street, like Walter J. and we were here together to speak with him. His son was in the CCC, and there was a couple other boys on the other side of the street that were in there. Everybody just seemed to get right through, though. Struggle, but we got through it.
How about you told me that you had one of the first TVs on the block in 1950, but you had a radio prior to that. Tell me maybe just a little bit of how you felt about FDR. I mean, through the Depression and the war, and you have any feelings?
My husband probably could tell you more about that, because he was really tops with us. He really was. Seems like he brought us through a great struggle, I think. I really think he did.
He was tops.
Yes,
if you had to go back and live your life over again, is there anything that you would change, or what would you change?
Nothing. No. Not one single thing. You know, every bit of my life. I always say, if I had to do over, it would be the same thing. It really would.
And your roots would definitely be on the east side.
On the east side. Absolutely.
Is there anything you'd like to say in closing about what made the East Side special, or just maybe reiterate or review some of the things that you just said? You think the East Side's a special place?
It is. It's special. It was. It is to me. Most all of them are gone now, but looking back, it was the greatest place to live. I don't know if you ever heard your dad talk about it.
Oh yeah, many times.
Yes.
Boy, why I'm here.
But this was a special street, especially here. But I had friends all over the East Side. I belonged to the East Garden Club. Greatest people belong to that. Okay, they still do. I dropped out of it now, but love these people in that village. They're great, great family. I still work for them. I have no children in school, but I work for the school.
The church or the school?
The school. We have spaghetti dinners, and my sister and I both go down. Work all 2 days we work on it. And my nephew had Harmon Leon, his name is. He had children down. He had 11 children. This is the sister that took care of him, her son. He had 11 children. The last one just graduated from the Immaculate Conception. And they all went to Ursula, on to college, great jobs, but we always did that because somebody in the family was there. But now nobody's there. But we still feel we should be doing for those that are there.
Give something back.
Yes.
You mentioned that
some of your nephews and so on have graduated from Ursuline Immaculate and Ursuline. How about back, in the 40s and so on, did many people from this area or neighborhood go to Ursuline or?
No. Most all of them went to East.
East.
Yes, almost. Did your dad go to
Ursuline? My dad went to Ursuline for 1 year. My grandmother really wanted me to go there.
His first year. Oh, his first year.
Yeah, I believe it was his first year.
Was it?
And he didn't care for it. His friends and East
he
High School is where he grew up, and that's where
he
wanted to go. So he ended up going to East High School.
And how about the boys?
And they all went to East also. But I just wondered if that was typical.
Yes, it was. No, it really was. All the boys here. I don't think any of the boys on the street went to Ursuline. Mm-hmm. Goes back to East, they just felt like that's where they belong. But now it just...
I know East has a great reputation, going back to that time in the 40s and maybe 30s and so on, with their sports, their athletic tradition and so on. Were there other things that made East High School special? Or you think that had a lot to do with it? You think their success in athletics and so on had a lot to do with it, the pride and things in the city?
Everybody was, the families were behind them all the time. Now, I would go to all the football games. The boys weren't even playing, but we would go to football games, even, like Newcastle, wherever they played. People just stuck with them. They were with their children right through schools. They cared about them and they just...
I know there's a popular establishment down here not far from Garland on Oak Street, the Royal Oaks. A favorite stopping place?
Absolutely.
With the children?
Not with the children, no. Sometimes dads might take a little one in with them. But young men, now when the boys, they were old enough, it was a hangout. That was a family hangout.
You say family, I mean...
Family, I mean...
Husbands and wives.
Wives, yes. Families with
kids. I was thinking maybe that after football games and so on, I think one of my uncles told me that in the back room in the eating area there would be high school kids and
yes,
so on.
Yes, they would go into that kitchen.
After a football game.
Yeah, they would sit back
that.
There and have their hot dogs specials. Yeah, that's true. I know because our boys did the same thing. They would not go into the bar room.
No.
But they would sit back into that kitchen. I have a couple of cousins that worked there and cooked for them. And I know that, they were pretty good with the young men. That's a real standout on the East Side.
How about some other, Oakland Field? I know people
baseball
spend a lot
games,
of time at Oakland Field and Lincoln Park.
We spent a lot of time in Lincoln Park, picnics and what have you, in Oakland Field for baseball games. That's another thing the boys did a lot. I'd go to baseball games in Oakland Field. Down Lincoln Park swimming.
You told me you don't remember ever having a doll. Did your daughter have dolls?
Oh, yes. Yes, she did. She certainly did. I tried to give her everything that I...
And she was born in 1953.
I always tell her, you were just a godsend, because I don't know what I'd do without her today. She's good.
Okay, we mentioned the Royal Oaks and Oakland Field and Lincoln Park. Or any other places, centers of activity? Yankee Lake?
I think we hit them all. Yankee Lake, yeah.
About McGuffey Plaza, did you watch shopping there? What were some of the
stores?
Yeah,
it was, when it was just a plaza, it was, you could enjoy shopping, but it's not too exciting. Back then it was, right after they built it was really nice, but then they closed it in and made a mall out of it. And it I don't know, it just never could pick up anyone.
When did they close that in and make it a mall?
Oh dear, I don't remember exactly. But it wasn't too many years after they built it. I really can't remember. Mm-hmm. I don't know of any place else there. Kids, Lincoln School, they hung around, you know. It's about it, well.
Where did the boys get their hair cut?
Cosno. On Oak Street. He's still there.
He's still there.
In fact, I think Bob still goes there. And then there was Louis the Barber on down by the Royal Oaks.
Mm-hmm.
They went there sometimes too. When they were smaller, they did go to New England.
Okay, is there anything else you'd like to add or tell me? I don't know if I asked you this or not. I'd like to. What would be your fondest memory of the East Side, or growing up on the East Side, when you remember most, sticks in your mind the most?
Just being on the East Side, there's no way of explaining it. I don't know how else I could express myself. That's why I'm still here.
The closeness.
The closeness. Mm-hmm. The care and
security.
Yeah. That's it.
That's certainly the impression I got. I think that's what motivated me to do this topic. Just interested in people like yourself.
I wanted to ask you, why did you stop here? Did someone tell you to stop here?
Oh, no. I just was riding down the street on the east side.
Really? My daughter asked.
Of course, I know some of my father's family, of course.
Yes,
and I just was riding by trying to get a feel for the area and rekindle some ideas in my mind, you know. But I saw you sitting out there and I thought, maybe you've been a long time. But we're going to stop the interview here, and I want to thank Mrs. Kalkagny very much for her time and for sharing her experience with us. Thank you.
My pleasure.